Hey everyone, welcome once again to a Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, an episode where instead of discussing something that was on Toonami, we discuss something that is kind of Toonami adjacent. This week, we discuss Dragon Ball Super Broly, the movie that came out last week. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby. Timely for once.
We've been timely before, very infrequently, but we talked about what? Gundam Build Divers. Yeah, reboot the Guardian Code.
We were first on the block with that shit.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot of stuff that turned out to be, you know, kind of eh. But at any rate, this actually didn't turn out to be kind of eh. I'm going to say before we even start that if you're a fan of Dragon Ball Z and you haven't seen this yet for some reason, you should probably just go see it in some capacity. Yeah. Instead of listening to us blather on about it, because we're going to talk about some spoilery stuff, probably.
There's probably a showing in your region. I don't know for how much longer, but...
Yeah, I was honestly a little surprised that there are still showings now, and we're recording this, what, Monday before release? So
yeah,
it's been almost a week since it was out. I thought it was going to be a much more limited release than it was. But...
Yeah, same here. I was a little surprised to get it in up in northern Michigan, you know. In addition to you getting in LA, of course.
Yeah, of course. You know, we get everything here, but
right.
Northern Michigan, not so much. So this, of course, is the movie that brings the character Broly into canon, a much-loved Dragon Ball Z character that, personally, I've never really understood the love for, because,
yeah.
To be honest, haven't seen any of the three movies that he's in prior to this. But... He's the legendary Super Saiyan, and here we finally have a, like, Toriyama-written, Toriyama-heavily-involved version of Broly, so he's in the canon now. Like, this is a movie that is canon.
Right.
It has a specific time when it's set.
He goes Super Saiyan with green hair.
Yeah, sort of, like, green-ish yellow hair.
He gets the green hair, yeah.
Yeah, eventually. So the basic plot of this movie starts with King Cold handing over the reins of the Cold Force to Frieza, making it the Frieza Force. And basically Frieza shit-talks everybody, introduces the revolutionary new technology known as the Scouter, which is great.
We get Scouter backstory.
Yeah, that was really what I needed, I think, to know that before Scouters, Saiyan used these like weird like sighting scopes.
Yeah, yeah.
but all of that happens. You
it's
know,
a pretty
King
awesome
Vegeta.
Little scene too, where they're like all bowing before Frieza at this like because Frieza's landing. And, you know, Saiyans are a prideful race, but they have to bow before Frieza.
Right.
Frieza turns on this new Scouters and he's like, "Oh, in fact, I can see that you have soldiers with weapons trained at me
yeah,
in these
he
three
just
towers."
Them all.
It just nukes them. Yeah.
Easily, immediately. Yeah. Right.
And everyone's just like, "Oh God."
So of course, King Vegeta is all pissed off that they have to you know bow before Frieza because Frieza. Yeah. Is a prick. Like, it's kind of implied that King Cold, no one really liked that much, but Frieza is much worse of a ruler.
Right. It's like turning it over to Joffrey or whatever, you know, he's a little kid. Who sucks at this point in the story.
Yeah, right. So, you know, King Vegeta's talking about how his son Vegeta has such great battle power, but then there's this other Saiyan baby that also has super high battle power, much higher, of course, this is Broly. So King Vegeta, being jealous of this other kid's super high strength, just kind of exiles him to this planetoid called Vampa, which is just this barren, windswept rock with some weird giant bugs.
And like toxic atmosphere, just like a real shit planet.
Yeah, right. And of course, Broly's father, Paragus, is annoyed by this, so he steals a ship and goes to basically save Broly. The ship crashes, and they can't escape this planet. A little bit later, Frieza decides to destroy planet Vegeta, as we all know, because he's worried about a Super Saiyan eventually showing up, and as Bardock, Goku's father, kind of determines that something's not quite right about Frieza recalling all Saiyans back to the planet.
Yeah.
He basically gives Goku a Superman origin story, and that he launches him to Earth, where he'll probably be fine from a planet that is about to explode.
Right, yeah.
This, from my understanding, is kind of adapted from the Dragon Ball Minus little one-shot that Toriyama wrote, which a lot of people were upset about, because it makes Bardock less of a badass. But in this, he still does try to fight Frieza and kind of partly stops Frieza's, like, big planet exploding death ball.
Yeah, he has kind of a pathetic beam struggle against the death ball and then is swallowed by it, but it was a cool little affront.
Yeah, he still tried.
Yeah, yeah.
And he he slowed it down. He didn't just get obliterated by it. But anyway, all of the Saiyans now are dead, except, of course, for the ones from the original series. That would be Goku, Raditz, Frieza, of course, Vegeta, and Nappa, and, of course, these two unknown Saiyans, Paragus and Broly. So we cut forward a lot into the future, like 30-some years.
Yeah, you get a little montage of all the time passing, Goku's adventures, even Dragon Ball Super happening. Like, this is technically post the end of Dragon Ball Super, too.
Yeah, it is. It's post inter-universe saga.
Yeah.
So, after all of this, Goku and Vegeta are doing what else? They're training, fighting each other, and meanwhile,
sparring over the ocean in a pretty scenic, ridiculous camera angle battle where everything's just flying around going nuts.
Get ready for ridiculous camera angle battles, by the way, because dear God. Meanwhile, the Frieza Force has been sort of reformed under Frieza and a pair of basically Frieza Force scouts named Chile and Limo are out trying to find some warriors to recruit. They happen across Broly and Paragus, and Frieza decides, oh, this guy has a grudge against Vegeta. I, of course, also have a grudge against Vegeta, so I guess I'll just sort of unleash Broly on these two and see what he can do, because he's so obviously powerful. And I mean, that's pretty much it. There's some more stuff that happens, but as far as the plot goes, that's mostly the setup for the first roughly 45 minutes, and then about the second half of the movie, about an hour, is just a crazy ass long fight between various combinations of characters.
I felt like we got a lot of backstory with this movie too.
For sure,
a lot more than I was expecting. I didn't expect like so much time to be spent on planet Vegeta, for example, or other planets besides Earth.
The thing about this movie that was kind of weird to me is that after seeing it, it made me realize why I generally dislike Dragon Ball Z movies, which is to say that it did a very good job at something that most of the other Dragon Ball Z movies don't really do at all, which is that it had a lot of backstory, but it also made the villain like a character. That is something that I feel can't really be said of pretty much any, like, Lord Slug is not a character.
He's just big, strong, bad.
every other big villain, for the most part, and this, of course, this is going off of the ones that I've seen, so I don't know, maybe there's one where maybe Broly has such a big talk because he actually has some backstory that makes him interesting, but for the most part, they're all just kind of like, here's this strong guy and here's the most cursory backstory possible to establish who they are, and now fight them, which sucks generally speaking. But with this, they actually take the time to establish Broly and make him actually fairly sympathetic. It's clear that Paragus is the real, like, villain here, because he's just a shitty dad.
Yeah, if you're putting an electric shock collar around your son and zapping him when he does wrong.
And of course, Frieza, like, being a kind of manipulator, which is fun.
Real shitlord himself. I did like that about his backstory, where he's just like grown up in so much shit and like on this awful planet and just adjusted and learned how to be a badass. And he has this like story about like the fur he wears on his belt that he doesn't let anyone touch.
Oh yeah,
and it's from this like monstrous beast that he just befriended as a kid until his dad fucked up and made him kill it.
His dad shot
the ear off of it.
Yeah, right. I don't think he killed it, but he did shoot the ear off.
No, that's right.
Like,
he didn't kill it
back or something.
Yeah, and it never wanted to be his friend anymore. It was just aggressive from then on.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, right. But again, like a bit of humanizing backstory to a character that's ostensibly the villain of the movie. The other thing about this that just succeeds in a way that a lot of Dragon Ball Z movies don't, or at least again the ones that I've seen, is that they don't like Broly doesn't have like a bunch of shitty minions that exist solely so that Krillin has somebody to fight.
Yeah they don't have a Broly force.
Yeah, right. Like, he, you know, the fight in this movie is just between Goku, Vegeta, and Broly, and eventually Frieza, and then Gogeta, because,
oh yeah,
you know, that's awesome stuff.
Which I think is the canon debut of Gogeta.
Yeah, it is. I'm almost certain of that.
Like, otherwise, they were in Fusion Reborn, which is a decent one of those shorter Z movies that came out, like one of the later ones. Mm-hmm.
That's Janemba, yeah. Right? Where he frees everyone from hell or something.
Basically, what happens is, real quick, this kid is working in hell, and he's just like listening to his Walkman too loud and not paying attention. He's like a teen working in hell, and he accidentally like hits the wrong button on like the evil containment thing.
Sure.
And then all the evil swirls around him, and he becomes Janemba, this fucking crazy badass. It's pretty funny.
You know,
that's the one where Hitler comes back and Goten fights him and Trunks fight him.
Yeah, kills him.
And it's then, just like a goofy, fun little thing where they're fighting Hitler's army for some reason.
Yeah, dude, nothing says goofy and fun like Nazis.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's another thing about this movie that I enjoyed quite a bit. Obviously, by this point, I have much more like recognized the comedic elements of Dragon Ball Z. That I guess I just kind of overlooked as a kid. Certainly, it didn't seem as silly as Dragon Ball, and Super in general is quite a bit more silly than Dragon Ball Z is.
Definitely makes fun of itself some more than Z ever did. And in a way, I think like Super, a lot of like Vegeta especially is way more animated in both this movie and in Super.
For sure.
His interactions with Goku, and it's especially like pointing out that Goku's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. Yeah, he's no longer the like, I guess it's interesting seeing the transition from Cell Saga era Dragon Ball Z, where Vegeta is like, you know, just becoming not a total bad guy.
Yeah.
To this, like, where he's actually kind Vegeta of friendly and fun.
Well, and this Vegeta, he's still like a badass, but he's like more of a straight man to Goku than he is a prick to everyone.
Yeah, right. He doesn't, for example, just shout loser at people randomly for no reason.
Yeah. He might as well be like sticking his tongue out at Android 18, like, nah, fuck you.
Yeah. I think possibly my favorite personal joke in this is that Frieza is trying to gather the Dragon Balls, not in order to
that's right,
not in order to have eternal life or to be invincible or anything, but rather to make himself 5 inches taller, or actually I believe it's five centimeters.
I thought it was not 5 feet. That's huge.
Yeah, no, it's a comparatively small amount.
And the rats right after, because Frieza steals his Dragon Balls from Bulma. Bulma gathered them and reveals that she wanted to look 5 years younger.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, why not go 10 years? And they're like, no, it's too noticeable. It's too obvious. And then it cuts to Frieza's ship, and Frieza's like, and they're like, why not go 10 feet? No, or it's too obvious.
10 centimeters again. I'm pretty 10 sure.
10 centimeters. I know numbers. The I love, too, they even call out, they're like, well, why don't you turn into, like, your second form? Like, yeah. Why would I do that?
Yeah, right. There's a lot of pretty fun little, like... Like, one thing that's interesting about this movie that's kind of unfortunate for people who haven't seen basically all of Dragon Ball up to this point is that there is, like, a decent amount of callback stuff to stuff that happened earlier, and it's pretty impractical to actually do anything more than the very brief montage they have of, like, this is what happened since the very beginning. But
yeah, that's true.
It's interesting that they cover so huge a portion of time and then have a number of callbacks to, like, the Universal, you know, tournament and, you know, Frieza being having all these different forms and stuff. So
I love the little pan over a chart of Frieza's forms showing
which exactly.
one's tallest.
Yeah, just like height
they
marked
have that
down.
Shot thrown
yeah. There's also a great moment later where Goku and Vegeta are doing the fusion dance in order to become Gogeta.
Oh yeah.
And
Piccolo Piccolo teaches them the fusion dance, but they just can't quite get it right.
Yeah, so of course we get the like shitty fat Gogeta and the shitty like super skinny Gogeta before they actually manage to get it right. And again there's the scene
Veku
where
is canon now.
Yeah, they're
it's like the chubby failed fusion. I love them.
But there's the scene where they're trying to, you know, touch fingers and their angles are wrong, and we get this shot of like a protractor like version
the
of them.
The angles are off.
It's hilarious. It's also great
that
once
great.
They form Gogeta, they're like, we need to figure out a name for ourselves. Piccolo's like, why don't you just go fight? Why don't you go fight Broly? He's like, no, it'd be way cooler if we had a name.
That's right.
So that was great. They pitch a couple shitty names and then settle on Gogeta. Also, Frieza deciding to kill Paragus in order to see if it would piss off Broly more and make him go Super Saiyan's a great little scene.
And then Frieza goes, oh no!
Yeah, like pretending that it's just a stray blast that killed him instead.
Stray blast. Stray blasts are a real problem in DBZ.
I'm sure they fucking would be.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sure some planets have been destroyed by some of these Kamehamehas that just
fly off
into the universe.
Yeah, right. Eventually it's gotta hit something. Or maybe not. Space is pretty gigantic. But I don't know. Like, overall, I actually really enjoyed this movie. I'm not sure what I was expecting exactly, but like, who knew that making a Dragon Ball movie where you actually bother to make the villain make sense and like introduce characters that have personalities?
Yeah.
And
what? Think about it, though. It's like the same could be said for the Battle of the Gods movie, which we both saw in theaters and enjoyed,
absolutely.
Too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
you
that's,
know,
like,
new
the
villains,
thing is,
personalities.
Yeah, sure. I think it helps that both of those movies were quite a bit longer than the typical DBZ movie.
Yeah, they're definitely
obviously.
Feature length. This one's an hour 45.
Yeah, and that one, I think, was like an hour 30. Didn't see Resurrection F, unfortunately. I'm kind of, like, trying to determine if I like this more than I liked Battle of the Gods or not.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Personally, I'd say I like Battle of the Gods more. I did really enjoy this movie. There were some parts I felt like they could have expedited some of the backstory bits. I didn't feel it was totally necessary to get, like, Bardock in there and the whole, like, Goku backstory. I feel like you just get, like, a shot of Bardock defending the planet, and that's good.
Yeah,
but instead,
but
it's like,
there's
we gotta send off Goku, and have this big crying scene of sending off Goku. And
I mean, sure, like, but there is, like, a thematic link there of the fathers of these Saiyans sending their kids off to stuff. And
that's
also
true.
Frieza, frankly, is thematically linked with them, too, and King Cold giving him command of the Frieza Force, which I appreciate. And honestly, like, I like that stuff. There's two moments in this that I really love, and I'll shut up after this, but there's the scene where Bardock comes home and, like, meets with his wife, and it's just this little scene of this kind of, like, domestic existence as this crazy, like, Saiyan warrior
race. Yeah.
And then, similarly, there's a scene where the two Frieza Force members Chile and Limo are talking to Broly in like the cafeteria of the Frieza Force ship, which, like, both of those scenes just have this little bit of, you know, hey, these characters aren't always fighting. Like,
yeah, right.
There is actually some kind of existence beyond that. And, you know, here's a reason to maybe be a little sad that Planet Vegeta was just blown up for no real reason. Like,
yeah, that's true.
There's a society here. Like, even down to how all of the Saiyans have different armor is this kind of thing that just makes it seem more alive and real, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about seeing, like, a society there instead of, again, the usual Dragon Ball Z thing where it's pretty much just fighting.
Yeah, fleshing out the Planet Vegeta was a good choice. I also thought it was funny that whenever they sign off their babies, they put them in Saiyan armor. So it's sure. Just like these little babies are in Saiyan armor. It makes them look a lot older.
Yeah, there's also a great scene where like very young Vegeta and Raditz are out like after conquering a planet. And
oh, that's right.
Vegeta bitches about not being able to be king of the Saiyans because Planet Vegeta was destroyed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's his only reaction to it.
We see Nappa with hair. I didn't even realize that character was Nappa until that moment. It's like, holy shit.
Which, I gotta say, in the theater that I was sitting in, the entire audience, like, cracked up just at seeing Nappa with hair, which is fucking ridiculous.
That's awesome.
I think my final word on this is that, and this is not even really anything to do with the movie, it's just maybe an interesting anecdote, is that I was sitting like three seats down from a little girl who couldn't have been more than like six. And I had this I just had this weird realization where I sit down and there's like a six-year-old down the aisle from me. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, why would your dad bring you to this fucking movie? This stuff's crazy. And then shortly thereafter, like, hearing her laugh at most of the jokes in the movie and then realizing, like, wait a minute, I was not that much older than that when I started watching this crap. And, like, I don't know. There's something kind of nice to me about the ability to, like, bridge because most of the people in there were like 20 somethings like myself, so
yeah, when you're carrying it on to another generation kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Nice. There's something sweet about that, even if it is taking the place in the middle of a bunch of super buff dudes screaming and punching each other through mountains.
Yeah, right. And the theater I was at was packed. Was yours packed?
Oh yeah, totally.
That's good to see. It apparently seems to perform pretty well budget-wise, too. That's nice.
Yeah, right. I mean, Broly has some serious pull in the West, apparently. Yeah. My understanding is that this outperformed Resurrection F in, like, Latin America, which is kind of interesting. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if this generally outperformed Resurrection F.
Well, not in Japan, like, at all, incidentally.
Oh, really?
That's the thing, is apparently Broly's big in the West, so I don't know. I mean, and again, another thing that's very nice about this movie is that it is explicitly canon. So hopefully we get to see Broly like somewhere down the road in Dragon Ball Super
whatever. Of course, settles with Goku being like, I want to make you my training partner, man. That was
great.
Yeah,
right. Because you know, he realizes that Broly's not actually a bad guy.
Yeah.
Also. Yeah. No, it's a fun movie. I would say that if you haven't seen it and for some reason you've listened to this point, then sorry, but we warned you. Anyway.
Go see it. It's still really good. You're not... This is Dragon Ball Z, okay? You're not here for a plot twist.
That's true. And there isn't even really a plot twist either.
Yeah.
But they managed to actually build up enough around the fight to make it engaging and good. Actually, which you know, can't always be said, so kudos to Toriyama for doing that.
Yeah, well, hell, we're gonna be continuing our coverage of Dragon Ball Z, the Android/Cell saga.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Next week, part two.
Yeah, specifically we'll be covering, well, actually it'll be part 12 of our overall right. Dragon Ball Z coverage.
Part two of this current watch.
And specifically the stuff with androids 17 and 18. So check us out then. But
yeah, get some teenage androids just fucking just around
driving
on the road.
Around, yep. But until we get to that, I will be Michael Doak.
And I will continue being Peter Eby and not Broly.
Yeah, right. I'm glad you clarified that, by the way.
Yes.
All right. Well, join us next week for Dragon Ball Z.